go to Acts chapter number 8. If you'll take your Bible and go to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. I'm going to preach a message this morning entitled Ingredients of a Divine Appointment. Ingredients of a Divine Appointment. Acts chapter number 8. We're going to look at verse number 26 and read the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. And we will read the story. We'll define for you what a divine appointment is. Then I'm going to present to you five ingredients for a divine appointment. We're a little later than when we normal would be, and I want you to know that I'm aware of the time. I won't be aware of it in about 30 seconds, but right now I'm fully aware of the time, and we'll get you out in good stead. But I want you to hear, please, what I have to say this morning, and I want you to take a hard look at the scriptures. I believe God wants to orchestrate some divine appointments. And by the way, he wants to include you in those divine appointments. I believe something. I buy into it. Other people can argue it, but I'm fully convinced that there's some people that only you can win to Christ. And if you don't win them, you don't get to hide behind the idea that, well, if I don't, somebody else will. I believe God wants to use every Christian in a unique situation, in a unique manner to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. I said all of you. Wait a minute. I'm talking about the one of you right now thinking, that's everybody but me. No, I'm talking about every single one of us can and should be on a regular basis involved in some divine appointments. And so I don't know of a better story that you can go to. I'm going to break it down. I want to teach you the ingredients of a divine appointment. I'm going to try to teach you how you can be led of the Spirit to these divine appointments, and then encourage you to be ready to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ when those opportunities come. Let's stand to our feet in reverence to the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? What an answer. What an answer. How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before the shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this portion of Scripture. And Lord, we've done something this week that I pray, dear God, by the end of this service, we'll be a little more aware of the heightened importance and of the blessing of the opportunity to sacrifice to get these scriptures ready. And Lord, we pray, dear God, that in the future, Lord, in the next few months and the years to come, these simple John and Romans that we've burst and collated sorted and stapled and trimmed and boxed, dear God, that they would find their way into the hands of people. And Lord, that we would in heaven get to review these divine appointments. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon what's said. Dear God, help this preacher. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Ingredients of a divine appointment. Let's start out by defining what is a divine appointment. Let me say this. We just read about a divine appointment. We're going to see the ingredients in this story. I'm going to give you the five ingredients in the introduction because of time. I don't know how thorough I'll be as far as being able to cover each and every one of them. But I believe that there are some ingredients that produce a divine appointment. Let me give you those five ingredients. First of all, it starts with the Word of God. Secondly, it involves the Spirit of God. Thirdly, it involves a man of God. And then fourthly, it of course revolves around the Son of God. And then the last thing that we see is a miracle of God. And so these are the ingredients of a divine appointment. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, a man of God, the Son of God, and a miracle of God. Say, preacher, what is a divine appointment? A divine appointment occurs when God orchestrates a lost person into an encounter with these five elements, where God orchestrates an opportunity for a lost person to come in contact with the Word of God, to be moved upon by the Spirit of God, to be helped by a man or a woman of God who's available for use, when a man is pointed to the Son of God, and when salvation occurs, by the way, which is always a miracle of God. This is the ingredients of a divine appointment. This is the definition of a divine appointment. Notice, if you will, in verse number 26, 27, and 28, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, and to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Notice what he was doing, verse 28, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Ingredient number one, the Word of God. Think about this. Use your imagination. Picture it, if you will. Here is a man sitting in a chariot with a copy of only one book of the Bible. One book of the Bible. The Ethiopian man had in his possession a printed copy of the Word of God. It should not surprise us that the first ingredient of this miraculous divine appointment is an encounter between a lost man and the Holy Bible. It's almost impossible to find a genuine miracle that does not involve the words of God. This world had its beginnings through the Word of God. God spoke and it was so. God said and it was so. Let's pause this morning before we go any further and remind ourselves of the power of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read this about the Bible. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Folks, the Word of God is powerful. Psalms 12, verse 5 through 7, for the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. This Ethiopian man sat in a chariot in the middle of the desert, reading the pure, protected, profitable, and powerful words of Almighty God. Now, we must stop and ask ourselves a question. I wanted to take a moment because of the project that we did this week. I want to include this in the message. Here's the question. Where did he get this copy of the book of Isaiah? Where did he get this copy of the book of Isaiah? Would there have been a divine appointment had not somebody placed in his hands one copy of one book of the Bible? The Bible tells us he'd been to Jerusalem to worship, but how did it come into his possession? We assume that while he was in Jerusalem, he obtained a copy of the scriptures. Wait a minute, watch this. Who gave it to him? They're not included in the story, but do you think they might receive the blessing, the reward for this lost man being saved? Who copied it, folks? No printing press back then. Somebody took a quill. Somebody took some ink. Somebody took some parchment. Somebody took a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of hours so that this man could be in possession of one book of the Bible. Who published it? Who put in the time? Watch this. Who bore the expense? Because I promise you this, printing back in those days, a book was a valuable thing. There was much expense, much money in the producing of even a portion of God's holy word. Think about that. Let it sink in. This has been an amazing week here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Our church partnered with Bethel Baptist Church in assembling over 150,000 copies of John and Romans. This project did not just occur this week. I want to remind you, folks, because I promise you, we're just a step in a series of steps that one of these days is going to allow God to have the ammunition to set up some divine appointments. Pastor John Davis, most of you wouldn't know him, and that doesn't ring a bell to any of you, or most of you. But by the way, the signatures, and that's what we call the inside of the John and Romans. That would be, watch this, that would be this part of it right here, all right, of the John and Romans, was printed in Looneyville, West Virginia. Pastor John Davis pastors a little church there, pastors a handful of people, and you know what he does with almost every spare minute and every spare dime that that church has? He goes out in that printing room and he prints copy after copy of the Word of God. And Pastor John Davis from Looneyville, West Virginia, printed the inside, what we call the signatures for these booklets. Then our missionary truck driver, Brother Greg Abel, I called him up and asked him, would you go towards Looneyville, West Virginia? He said, how do you get there? I said, I don't know. And if you do get there, I'm not sure you can get back from there. Brother Chad Robinson was talking about driving the truck and the trailer through the hills of West Virginia and how sometimes as you were going through those tight turns, your trailer would be up alongside of your truck. And I'm thinking about his truck going through there. A couple of times he probably had to fold it in half to get it around some of those curves. And he drove over there, took a load over towards there and dropped the load off and then went by Looneyville. And I know Brother Abel don't want me to say this, but I tried to give this man money for his fuel, and he looked at me offended and said, preacher, I thought you told us that we were to sacrifice for this project. How can me and my family sacrifice if you're going to give me money for fuel? Folks here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, month after month, have given faithfully to missions. This started way back so that we can not only support the 55 missionaries God has entrusted us with, but extra to occasionally take on a Bible seed line project like this. So every person in this room that's given faithfully to missions, you've got a part of this. Bearing Precious Seed worked with us to print the covers for the Bibles and sent to us Brother Chad Robinson and Elijah and Tyler to help us oversee the project. They provided, by the way, as you were out there, you gave evidence to this, all the machinery, all that was necessary to assemble these John and Romans. They showed up with a trailer. They set it up. And so God used them. This week, many of you sacrificially took the time to come to the church and burst apart and collate and fold and staple and trim and box and assembled the two books of the Bible into booklet form. Now, folks, again, this is just another step. These will be shipped in probably August to missionary Jerry Wyatt,
who's serving the Lord in Tanzania, Africa, serving in a city, and I'm going to probably massacre the pronunciation, Morogorro. And I think you pronounce that Jasonville. I'm pretty sure that's how it's pronounced. This was exciting because Brother Wyatt, I asked him about the population of his city, 400,000 people. I want you to just let this sink in for a minute, all right? 400,000 people in Tanzania, Africa. Now, folks, if we send 150,000 John and Romans to a city of 400,000 people, you know what? It's probably very possible that that would be one John and Romans per household in a city of 400,000 people. Say, preacher, why do we make the sacrifice? Why invest the time? Why the expense? Why the effort? Because I believe there will be in the next few months men and women and boys and girls sitting a half a world away reading the powerful, pure, productive, profitable, and conviction-producing words of God. And this is necessary, a necessary ingredient for divine appointment. Through your sacrifice this week, we are helping to provide the first ingredient of thousands of potential divine appointments. But wait a minute, this is only the first ingredient of this divine appointment as we learn about it in this story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. We see in this story the word of God, but let me also quickly go to the next ingredient. We also see the activity of the Spirit of God. In verse number 26, if you'll look down at the pages of your Bible, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Look at verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I want to just pause on this ingredient for just a minute and say this publicly. Thank God for his wisdom. Thank God for imparting to us the indwelling Spirit of God. There's many things that the Holy Spirit does. And by the way, if you're saved today, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. He lives inside of you. He's not some third-class member of the Trinity. He's as much God as God the Father. He's as much God as God the Son. And a member of the triune God lives inside of me and inside of you. And it's very important that we treat very sacredly our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. God has given him to us so that he can do many, many things for us, and he can be such a great blessing to us. He is our divine comforter. Jesus called him the comforter. And how many of you can give witness, give testimony to those times of heartache and devastation when no man's words could comfort you, and yet God's presence, the Holy Spirit of God ministering inside of you, gave you the strength to put the next foot in front of the other and get through a day that you thought you'd never be able to live through. He's our divine comforter. He's our divine tutor. How many times in the reading of the scriptures, as we do our devotions and the study of the scriptures, does the Holy Spirit open up to us the words of God and help us to understand things that the natural man cannot receive? He's our divine prayer partner. And I love the way the Bible speaks of him in this capacity, because again, there's times when we get on our knees and we don't even know what to pray. We don't even know what to say. And yet he gives divine utterances for us and helps us pray when we don't know what to say. I want to say this about the Holy Spirit of God. I want to thank him for this ministry. He's also our divine convictor. And let's just say amen to that. Let's be glad about that. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God, he's been given inside of us to correct us and to lead us to the right paths. And he's not afraid to speak up. If we'll listen, he's not afraid to speak up, Christian. If you say something you shouldn't say, the Holy Spirit of God's quick to convict your heart about it. If you have even a thought of doing something you shouldn't do, here comes the Holy Spirit of God and convicting power upon you. And if you have a good relationship and an unhindered relationship with him, you know what, folks? He ought not to, but have to just whisper. We ought to hear. He's also our divine director. I'm going to talk about now divine appointments. Watch this. He's our divine director. Thank God for his comfort. Thank God that he is our divine tutor and prayer partner. Thank God for his conviction. But thank God that he is the one that directs Christians to divine appointments. Now, I mentioned a minute ago, that's why we need to treat very sacredly our relationship with the Spirit of God. I want to open up some of your minds and some of your hearts beyond maybe where you've considered up to this point. I say this often from the pulpit, and I'm preaching out and about, and I've said it here for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I'm going to say it again this morning. You know what's a shame? Some Christians have been saved for years and years and years, and they are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and yet they have never said one word to the Holy Spirit. He is not an it. He is a him. He's as much God as God the Father. He's as much God as God the Son. I like it when it gets a little quiet in a Baptist church when somebody starts talking about the Holy Spirit. And if you really want to scare Baptists, then start talking about the Holy Ghost. I don't know why, but if we say it that way, for some reason it's even scarier. And yet, he's a member of the divine Trinity. And yet he indwells every single one of us. And yet he wants to communicate with us and teach us and help us and direct us. Why in the world would any Christian with any hopes of attending a divine appointment not want to get up every morning and say, "Dear Holy Spirit of God, please, there's somebody out there today that you alone know where they're at, and you have prepared their heart. And dear God, please, watch this. Isn't it the songwriter that says this? Lead me to one soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find the way." And you know what we do? We get up in the morning and race past our Bible and our prayer time and ignore the presence of the Spirit of God. Watch this. Let me help you this morning. Have things in our life that are causing grief to the Holy Spirit, that are grieving him. And in some instances, perhaps even having quenched the Holy Spirit of God where he has almost no influence over our lives. You know why? Watch this. Because sin and self is more important than the Spirit of God. And so we exist, but we don't live. We exist, but we don't live. And the Holy Spirit of God cannot direct us anywhere. You know why? We've got our own plans. We've got our own schedule. We're going to do our own thing, and we're not really interested in being involved in an Ethiopian eunuch Philip-type encounter. But I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit of God wants to use you. Look right up here. I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about children. I'm talking about adults. I'm talking about senior saints. Come on now. Everybody in this room, yes, sir. The Holy Spirit of God could and would want to use you this week, and lead you to somebody that he's prepared. Somebody where you can do a little planting. Somebody where you can do a little watering. And every once in a while, thank God, somebody where you can watch God give the increase. I don't know of a more exciting life. I don't know what the world has to offer, but it can't offer you that. I know what sin steals from you. It steals from you that. I mean, you can make all the excuses you want to, and you know what? After a while, I just look at Christians, and it seems like they've convinced themselves that nothing's wrong with anything. But you fill your life full of self and sin, and you know what you lose? You lose the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot be filled with the Spirit and filled with sin. You cannot be filled with the Spirit and filled with self. Hey, preacher, when the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit, what is that? That's when I'm going to make it simple for you. You hear me say this all the time. That's when a Christian gets serious enough to empty themselves of self and sin and get thoroughly clean before God, and then ask God to replace self and sin with the indwelling, the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And when you get a little taste of what it's like to live like that, you won't want to go back to self and you won't want to go back to sin. And so we see the Spirit of God, the second ingredient of this divine appointment. Number three, we see the man of God. The Bible says in verse 26, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." So God uses a man. Verse 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot." Verse 30, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest?" Wait a minute, let me just help you with something. You say, "Preacher, couldn't God do this? Couldn't God do this without a man?" God can do whatever he wants to do. Can I say this? God doesn't have to use us. He chooses to use us in this process. God was fine, just fine, before the first man was ever created. And if all mankind were to disappear, you know what? God would just be fine. But he's chosen to include us in these divine appointments. He's chosen to include us in this great plan. You say, well, preacher, I think that man could have just sat in that chariot and read the Bible and gotten saved without Philip's involvement. Then please pray tell me why God pulled Philip out of a revival in Samaria and dragged him all the way out into the wilderness. And by the way, let's continue to read in verse number 31. And by the way, Philip asked him a question at the end of verse 30. Understandest thou what thou readest? And the Ethiopian eunuch, and he said, how can I, what's the next phrase? Except some man should guide me. I'm going to ask you a question. Come on, I want you to think about this because this is powerful. Can a man just get saved reading the Bible alone? Can a man get saved just by reading the Bible alone? I appreciate ministries that are all about getting the Word of God printed and getting it distributed. But I know Pastor Dutry. And he's not just all about that. That's big down there. He's just as excited and understands it's just as important to send people as it is to send Bibles. You say, well, I don't know. Well, think about it. Can a man just read the Bible and without any other man's involvement, any other man's help, get saved? Well, I'm going to, I think, give you an answer. Here in this story, this man was reading what I think was the best book in the Bible as far as an explanation of Jesus Christ and what he would one day come and do. I think he was reading the best chapter of the best book of the Bible. I think if any man has ever lit upon a portion of the Old Testament where he had a chance of just reading Scripture alone and with no human explanation, receiving Jesus Christ as him Savior, I think if any man had a chance, it was this man. And yet, his answer to the question, understandest what thou readest, was this: how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Jesus said this: go ye into all the world and what? He didn't say, just go print Bibles and send them out. And by the way, you don't have to preach it, just send the Bibles, they'll be fine. Can you come up with a verse that would support you? Say, some of you are struggling out there. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Now, come on. Can you come up with a verse? Well, yeah, I know a verse. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And certainly we find that in the Bible. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then the Bible goes on to say in that same portion of Scripture, watch this. Before that portion of Scripture, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're going to get to that verse. That verse is down in verse number 17, Romans chapter 10. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But let's read the context of it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not? And how shall they hear without a? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look up here. I'm gonna keep some of you from the wiggle room you like to have on this. Here's a Bible answer to that question. No, God set it up where the word of God and a man or woman, Spirit-filled man or woman, is involved as part of the ingredients of a divine appointment. So it's not enough. Church, listen, I want to congratulate you what you've done, but it's not enough. It's not enough for us just to send Bibles around the world. Here's something that I heard a man preach, a missionary for many years, a statement that he said. He said this. He said, independent fundamental Baptist churches will send anything to the mission field except their children. Come on now. I'm glad that God got the Bibles ready. I'm glad we're going to send them. And by the way, they need the seed. This is the seed. We talked about the importance of the Word of God and how powerful it is. They need the seed, but folks, they also need a sower of the seed. You think about that? You let it sink in here? Who was this man? You say, preacher, if a man of God is required for a divine appointment to occur, then that rules me out. By the way, before you jump to conclusion, let's remind ourselves of who Philip was. In Acts chapter 6, we learn Philip was a deacon. One of the seven men chosen by the church to care for the neglected widows. In chapter 8 of Acts, we learn Philip and his family had to flee Jerusalem because of the persecution against the church there. We learn also that Philip was relocated in Samaria and there began to do what Jesus had instructed every Christian to do, began to preach the gospel. A miracle happened. Revival broke out. People were saved. There was a great movement of God. Who did God use to produce this Samaritan revival? Was it Paul? Was it one of the apostles? Was it eloquent Apollos? Was it dynamic Peter? No, it was a dislodged deacon who decided that he was going to tell everyone he met about Jesus. So you have as much opportunity to be a man of God as I do. By the way, it's not just the men. Every man in this church has the potential to be a man of God. Every woman in this church can be used greatly by God to see people saved. All of us, if we are willing to be in this, to be spirit empowered and spirit led, can be one of God's ingredients in the carrying out of divine appointments. I'm glad we're sending the Word of God to the mission field, but wait a minute, maybe God's not done here this morning. Maybe he's going to reach down and touch the heart of a young man or a young lady or a young couple that says, I won't just send the scriptures. God's telling me I need to go with these scriptures. Thank God for Jerry White and his family or who are in Tanzania, Africa, waiting for a container of scriptures to arrive. But wait a minute, there's 150,000 of them and there's one family. Are you listening to me? God does not just need the seed, he needs the sower. Psalms 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Someone must weep, someone must go, someone must bear the seed, someone must sow. Not just in the mission fields of Africa, folks, in the mission fields of Greene, Sullivan, and Clay County. If the Word of God is going to go out and touch the lives of people, if you're going to see divine appointments, guess what? Are you listening to me? Guess what? Then you need to get off the pew and get out of your comfort zone and get into a soul winning program and go out with the Word of God. And you know what? You can be involved in some divine appointments. I have to take the time to say this. Not only do we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God and a man of God, but you know what? We see the preaching of the Son of God. Verse number 32, in the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led to a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth, and in his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? I love this verse. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And then the question, verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, folks, listen to me. God can use us as men, but our job is to point people to Jesus Christ. I can be an ingredient, but you know what? I'm not the cure. I can carry the message, but I can't save a soul. But I can take a lost soul to the one who can save his soul. And thank God for the Son of God. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus died for our sins, according to the gospel. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. And we have the opportunity to share the story of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, to all mankind. The last ingredient, the last thing we see, is a miracle of God. And we see in the conclusion of this story that the verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And every single time a young person gets saved here, a teenager gets saved, an adult gets saved here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, or out in one of our outreach ministries. I mean, we have two families that are going to go to nursing homes this afternoon, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to sow some seed. They're going to sow some seed. And you know what? I love it when the reports come back, and occasionally they do, that in these nursing homes, there's a man or a woman that sits there and listens to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and chooses to receive Jesus as their Savior. Hey, there's a whole world out there. Somewhere, somebody's sitting and waiting. Somewhere there's somebody. Listen, folks, I believe that something ought to haunt you as you drive around this community. I think something ought to haunt you as you drive up and down the streets and the roads and the highways and the byways of this community. Let me tell you what I think ought to haunt every Christian in this room. The cry of the unknocked door. Brother Reiser can't get to all of them. Pastor Jerry can't get to all of them. Come on now. Brother McCammon can't get to all of them. Brother Chad can't get to all. Come on. Come on. Come on. If we're gonna saturate our Jerusalem with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to see the miraculous happen, divine appointments happen, and sooner or later, some of you are going to have to get past some things and get over some things. Come on. And get right about some things. Lay your excuses aside and say, you know what I need to do? I need to find that old soul-winning New Testament that I used to use. It's in a drawer somewhere. It's in a box somewhere. Come on now, it's in a box somewhere. I need to get me some gospel tracts. I haven't picked up some of them in quite some time. And I need to get on my knees before a holy God and say, God, I got the Word of God. And I got the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And by the way, I offer myself up as the man or the woman of God. And I want to go tell somebody about the Son of God. And if you'll guide me and you'll help me, Lord, I'd like to see a miracle happen this week in my life. Isn't that exciting? The ingredients of a divine appointment. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, please, Lord, we ask, dear God, please, that you would take this story and this message, and you would help us, dear God, to understand that the same wonderful experience, dear God, that you allowed Philip to have is waiting for each and every one of us. Somebody out there needs Jesus, somebody that we're only going to win. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. May we make ourselves available. May we sign up. May we volunteer. May we get right and get ready. May we get back in contact and repair perhaps a damaged relationship with the Spirit of God. May we be transparent and honest about where we are in our standing with you. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. What could happen this week if every saved person on the sound of my voice would just simply say, I want to be that man of God. I want to be that woman of God that's used by the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and preach the Son of God to some lost person. What miracles could await? Holy Spirit, please deal with our hearts. Break through, dear God, the hard crust, the fallow ground. Lord, convict us, dear God, so that we care, and convict us, dear God, if we don't care. Break through what you need to break through, dear God. I pray that you'd shatter and annihilate and smash every single foolish reason and foolish excuse that have become strongholds in our mind that somehow allows us to go day in and day out with no concern for the lost. God, please break through those things, dear God, with your word and your Spirit this morning. Bring us under conviction, God. Use us this week. our heads bowed and our eyes closed. There may be somebody here this morning that's never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you know what? The fact that you came in the door today and are sitting there, this is your divine appointment. God has worked to bring you to this place. God has prepared a preacher to preach the gospel. You have had a front row seat to watch the conversion of an Ethiopian eunuch and to hear the story and to see what happened. The Holy Spirit of God is working in your heart right now. There's something happening inside of you that you can't explain with human words. There's something that's happening inside of you that no human could make happen. The Spirit of God is dealing with your heart. If you died right now, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? The Holy Spirit of the Lord is convicting you about your lost condition, your need of Christ. We have two men that are here at the front. And if you'll come forward and walk straight to them and say, I need to be saved, they'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a lady or a young lady, they'll get a lady to show you. If you're a man, they'll get a man to show you, a young man. But I pray that you wouldn't leave the auditorium without Jesus. Please, don't leave without Jesus. Christians, come on now. Are we going to let this message just bounce off our heart? Are we going to once again ignore what God's trying to do in our midst? Are we going to get tender about this thing and serious about this thing? Isn't it time to reenlist? Hey, isn't it time to reenlist and to get busy for the Lord? Whatever excuse the devil's throwing into your mind right now, every single person that is serving the Lord, if they wanted to, could find the same excuse or excuses just like it or similar to it. You either make excuses or you make yourself available. How about it? How about it? Heavenly Father, please bring us to that place of great conviction, dear God. Somebody's waiting this week. Somebody's ready. How tragic to get to heaven and see that the God of heaven orchestrated a divine appointment and got a lost man to be involved with it, but couldn't get a saved person to be involved. God, help us. Help us, Lord. Bring conviction upon our hearts. Ready us for what you have ahead.